So while you've all set up a little bit more here, I'll do a few introductions. So I'm Ari Shore. I'm a product marketing manager on the Office 365 marketing team. And with me today, I have kind of a wide variety of presenters that kind of represent different roles and functions, as maybe your enterprise would have, with many users trying to access data and gain insights. So they all represent a good sample of the types of users that might be using Excel on a day-to-day basis. So with me, I have Yuval, actually from Israel, still a little bit jet-lagged, but able to join us today and awake enough to do some really cool demos. We have Miguel, also in marketing for the Power BI marketing team. And then we have Michael Wilmot from Colorado as a SQL TS, so implementing Power BI, Excel, and our full Microsoft BI stack with our customers in the Northwest. So today what we'll go over is really just giving you a quick introduction of where we are with Microsoft Office, kind of how the BI story fits into it, some of the trends we're seeing in BI, and then kind of where Excel and some of the new functionality fits in. But most of this session is just going to be demo heavy. We want to show you what we have in Excel today so that you can all go and kind of evangelize that with your users and say, hey, Excel is not what you thought it was before and what you've used it for on a day-to-day basis. It's actually got some great capabilities for discovery, analysis, and visualization. Then kind of we'll spend the last probably 20 minutes or so talking about Power BI for Office 365, kind of how that extends what you can do in Excel in terms of creating reports, creating models, publishing them to Office 365, and being able to share them out and get answers throughout your organization. And then we'll kind of conclude with what are some additional resources to allow you to learn more about these capabilities, because obviously we can't fit everything into the hour 15-minute time slot. But I really want to leave some time for questions at the end, because I know a lot of this stuff is new for many of you. Even if you've used Excel, you don't know necessarily about all these capabilities. So in terms of like the modern workplace, you've heard a lot about this already at the conference, in the keynotes, talking about, how we're changing the way we do work with Office in the workplace. And so one of those pillars is really about analytics everywhere. And that's not just getting access to analytics everywhere. That's analytics from many different roles and functions. So as I said, we have a full sample of different roles up here on stage, all needing to do different types of data analytics, same within your enterprise. So that's really where having a scalable solution like Excel and Power BI will come in. So we think about kind of drilling down on analytics everywhere. It's really about self-service insights, so allowing the end users to be able to make decisions on their own. And so that's, getting access to both big and small data, enterprise and public data, ad hoc reporting and analysis, as well as natural language queries. Some of you have seen that within the keynote. We'll show a little bit of that today. That's really kind of a good example of how we're taking self-service BI and bringing it to the masses. Visualization and geomapping. So what we had in PowerView, extending that out to some of our new geospatial characteristics in PowerMap. We're not going to spend a ton of time on geospatial in this session, but we have another session actually later today that I'll be speaking that will do a little bit more of a drill down. So in terms of what are the trends that we're seeing in the world of data and business analytics, it's really about two things, data explosion. So velocity, variety, volume of data is really increasing, especially over the last 5 years. So it's really being able to make sense of all that data, and not just at the IT level, but also at the end user level. So there's this quote from Gartner that I think sums it up about organizations getting a lot of value out of information management systems. And that'll continue to be the case as the three V's of data continue to increase. Consumerization of IT, that's a big talking point just for the conference, is all the different devices. So people don't want to just have their desktop be able to use Excel. They want to be able to access reports, be able to access different data sources, all from these different devices that they have, whether that's a tablet, phone, or desktop. So when we talk about BI, it's traditionally been this path of, the IT pro is really staying busy because all these end users ask him to connect to existing data sources, you know, data marts, could be files sitting on different desktops of those end users, line of business applications, you know, trying to get some data quality out them using ETL tools, provisioning them to analysis cubes, data warehouses. So it's this kind of long process of finally getting to that analysis reports and dashboards. That's kind of what the end users really want over on the right. But now we're seeing this paradigm shift of kind of breaking down those barriers. And those spreadsheets and maybe some specialized tools are becoming used by the end users, whether IT pros like it or not. And that's kind of where we see this shattering, this rapid breakdown of control because of self-service BI. So for IT pros, it's about balancing control with the agility that those end users are trying to get by using those spreadsheets, Excel, and maybe some other specialized tools. So what you see is, you know, corporate BI players, you all know them, Oracle, IBM, SAP, a few others. And then there's some niche startups. I mean, how many of you have heard of Tableau? How many of you are using Tableau? Okay, so a good number of you. So that's an example of a niche player on the self-service BI side of, you know, really kind of democratizing visualization and just that ability. What we see with Microsoft, and this is kind of our vision, is being able to deliver the full platform. So from SQL Server to SharePoint to Excel, and now we're trying to simplify that even more, where you're talking about self-service BI as really Excel and Power BI together. And this is all delivered through the cloud. And the reason we deliver through the cloud is so that we can deliver the most up-to-date and most innovative capabilities to end users as fast as possible. So good examples like Q&A that we'll bring to the cloud first. So if we look at kind of what is that process for an end user using Excel, it's really about discovery, you know, finding those data sources, connecting to them, maybe even searching on them, and you'll see some of those search capabilities when we talk about Power Query. And then being able to analyze them. So bring different data sources together, mash them up within Excel, and then be able to build rich visualizations off of them. So, you know, your typical pivot tables, only about, you know, 10% of users will use pivot tables, but we're taking new visualization capabilities into Excel so that end users can gain insights out of those different data sources that they're connecting to and mashing up. And then kind of that last step is being able to share those reports and insights throughout the organization. And so we'll spend a little bit of time talking about that with Power BI. So if you think about it, this is kind of a summary of what we have between Excel and Power BI and kind of how we've thought about it in terms of the end user process. So if you look at kind of what we'll walk through today, it's really about discovery, analysis, visualization, and then the end goal of being able to share them. So where we'll kick off today in terms of demo is really talking about the whole discovery aspect within Excel. So no longer is it something where IT pros will necessarily need to provision out these different data sources for the end user. We're actually going to show you how you can connect directly to line of business applications like Dynamic CRM now through Power Query to be able to gain insights, then bring in other data sources like public data sources about population data, allow you to make informed decisions off of those different data sources. So I'll bring up Yuval now to show you a little bit of a demo on some of the new capabilities we're bringing to Excel with Power Query.
Thanks, Ari. So as Ari mentioned, I'll be showing you a few capabilities, mostly within Power Query and a little bit within Power Pivot. And basically, I'll be showing you how to find what data are available to me, whether that be public data or data within my organization. I'll be showing you how to connect to those data, regardless on what platform they're running on. I'll show you how to clean up that data and make it so that it's represented exactly the way I need it for my visualizations. And then how to share that work with others in my organization so that they can leverage the work that I've already done. And lastly, I'll be showing you using the data model in Power Pivot how to connect between two different result sets to get some of the benefit of those merges. So how many here have used Power Query already? Great, okay. So Power Query is an add-in within Excel, and for the most part, what I'll be showing you today is readily available for every user in Excel. Where it's relevant, I will point out those capabilities which are Power BI specific. So for the most part, what I'm showing you can be done by any Excel user who has downloaded the Power Query add-in. And so Power Query introduces that ribbon that I've just highlighted there. And what I'm going to do is, so a funny thing happened while I was preparing for this demo. I told my parents that I was presenting, and I figured my mom, as moms are, would get a kick out of receiving the link to this session. So I sent her a link, and I thought it'd be funny if I included a link to Bill Clinton's keynote address and say, "Well, look who my warm-up act is." And so 2 days pass, and my older sister calls me up, and she says, "Well, I hear you're doing a presentation at a conference, and that Bill Clinton's going to be in the audience." So, just to make things clear, Mr. President, if you're in the audience, can you raise your hand, please? No. Okay. So, it's a little bit of a disappointment, but I'm also a bit relieved. So I don't know about you, but I'm a visual kind of guy, and President Clinton's address had a lot of data in it, a lot of numbers that he was throwing out that were a little hard for me to visualize without seeing them in front of me. So I'm going to show you something that I think would be useful in that kind of scenario, especially since, as President Clinton mentioned, he is not very technically savvy, and we really hope these are some capabilities that we think are making data acquisition and the get data scenarios, as we like to call them, a little bit more accessible and more approachable to the everyday Excel user. So I think I've been talking enough. I'll start showing you some capabilities. Okay. So what I'm going to start by is showing you the online search capabilities. So I've hit the online search, and I'm going to look for some income inequality information. So what that's doing is that's hitting a data catalog service that's running in the Microsoft Cloud, and what that's bringing up right now, we'll get into organizational data a little bit later, but what you're seeing right now is some public data sources that we feel are valuable for our customers and have been curated and made available through Power Query. And as you can see, there's a bunch of stuff here from Wikipedia. There's some data from data.gov. And as I hover over these, you'll see that I get some information about where this data is coming from, when it was last refreshed, some descriptions around it. I get some nice highlights which show me why Power Query feels that this is relevant to my search. And a little bit of information about documentation and the data source and where it's coming from, really trying to give me some confidence in the pedigree and the lineage of this data, make sure that it is sound and that I'm comfortable using it. So I'm going to look at this Gini coefficient. And the Gini coefficient is an indicator of income equality. And really easily, I can just hit Add to Worksheet, and you'll see that within a few seconds, I'll just have that. And once it's in Excel, I can do anything that Excel can do. I can chart, I can filter, I can slice and dice it however I want. Now, as I realize that I probably won't be meeting President Clinton here, so let's try to see who else I could be meeting, maybe take advantage a little bit of my time here. So I'm going to search for people from Las Vegas. And I see that Wikipedia has a list of notable people from Las Vegas. Oh, sorry about that. And so if I choose, I could choose some businessman, or maybe I'll meet with Nicolas Cage while I'm here.
Might be more likely to meet at the Wax Museum than in person.
Yeah. But just in case all of that doesn't come to fruition, I was thinking maybe I could go see a show or something. So, hold on, let me bring up my browser. So what I did was I went on to StubHub, and I took a look at what shows are showing within the next few days. And this is just an example of information that's readily available on the web and which, using Power Query technology, is really easy to bring into Excel. So I'm just going to grab that URL and show you how I can use Power Query to bring in data from the web. And what will happen now is Power Query is going out, getting that information from the web page, parsing it, identifying what tables, what information there may be interesting to me. And as that comes up, it'll offer me a few different choices of what I may be interested in and allow me to select it and bring it into my worksheet. The internet gods are not with us. There we go. So if I hover over this table 0, I see that that's kind of representing what was in there. So I can hit load and get that data in there. So what I've shown you is a few of the less traditional kind of data sources that are valuable when you're bringing data into Excel. Of course, Power Query supports a whole range of the more traditional ones. So almost any kind of database you can think of, right? Other
question for you, Yuval. So you've shown a few of the data sources here in the ribbon. Mm-hmm. So how does that compare with what we already have within the data tab and with Power Pivot?
Yeah, so the team's really, really been great on bringing new sources online all the time. So anyone who's followed the preview has seen that really monthly almost, new data sources have been coming online here. So there's quite a bit more in here. And of course, I don't know, some of you folks may be familiar with a product called SharePoint. I can bring in SharePoint lists into here. I can bring in anything that publishes an O data feed, and I'll be showing that a bit later. And a whole range of very useful data sources. So let's open up a new file. And for the rest of the demo, let's assume that I am a salesperson for a company selling 3D printers. And I'll show you how to access some of the data that's sitting in my dynamic CRM published out through an O data feed. How I can bring in that information on my opportunities and my accounts, visualize that in Excel. Later, Michael will be showing us how to visualize it in Power Map, show some of the more advanced visualization capabilities. And so, as I said, my company is using Dynamics. And this is our accounts page. And there's a few reports available to me here, but I'm really an Excel guy, and I like to play with my data, and I like to look at it how I like. I like to mash it up with other sources. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring in data that's exposed through the Dynamics O data feed. And so I could do that directly, but I'm going to just check just in case anyone's already done that. Now, this is, remember I told you I would identify where I'm talking about Power BI capabilities. In this scenario, I am a Power BI customer, and therefore I can also search for organizational data sets. You'll see that if I search for opportunities, so first it'll show me all kinds of data sources, but it'll also show me data that's coming from within my organization. And that's indicated by this icon here. There's also some capabilities that we supply around certifying these data sources. We've actually seen some IT departments using the certification and using this publishing capability as a tool to publish to within the company what are the official data sources that they want users looking at and really getting up above the noise level to really highlight those sources. So the opportunity set, this looks like what I need. So it has my accounts, it has the names, and as I said, I can see who published that. The description and where's the data coming from. So I see it's coming from my Dynamics. So I'm pretty comfortable with that. And I'm just going to hit edit here. I'm not going to talk too much about this query editor right now. Talk about it in a moment. But really what I want to say is I want to bring this data into the data model. Can I have a show of hands? How many people in the audience are familiar with the data model? Okay, so for those of you who are not, the data model is an in-memory database and analytics engine, which really enables a lot of the powerful BI scenarios within Excel. So I'm going to be putting it in the model mainly to show you how I can join two different data sets that I've brought in from, they may be from the same source, they may be from different sources, And I'll show you how I can join those two sets of information within the model.
It's important to call out as well that every Excel 2013 workbook has a data model built into it. So if you want to visualize that data model, you can use Power Pivot to really see what that looks like in terms of the relationships. But every single Excel 2013 workbook will have that data model built into it.
So it looks like our internet connection is giving us trouble. Let's give it another second. Maybe hop on Wi-Fi. So there's two data sets I'm going to be bringing in here. I'm going to bring in my that's on the other window. So I'm going to bring in my opportunities from here. And as I said, I'm not going to talk too much to the other capabilities around here. I'll mention that in a moment. And I'm just going to say, well, this is something I want to go into the data model over here, and not I don't necessarily want to see this as raw data on the worksheet. I'd rather create a report that's a little more digested. So we got the opportunity data, and now let's go search for the account data. Because I noticed, I forgot to mention this, but I noticed that there's a lot of information in there about the opportunity, but there's some information that I want to bring in for my account. So for example, what country is this potential customer located in? So I'm going to search for accounts, and I see that someone else, not alcohol consumption. I see that someone else has already published this, and I'm going to add it to my model as well. And I'll be showing you in a moment how to connect between those two different data sets. And as I mentioned, I could have done this myself. The source is just the OData feed that's coming from Dynamics. And let me open up the Power Pivot add-in. The Power Pivot add-in, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, gives me some of the more powerful modeling capabilities around the model. So I'm just going to open that up so you can see that that the data model is being populated in there. Hopefully we should see, there we go. We see the second table coming in here, and we'll come back here in a minute. But really what I want to do now is, so I have that account information, I have the opportunity information, but as I said, I like to mash up my data, and I really want to know, well, how do these opportunities correlate with the market size of each country we're going to? And as a company, we've identified the young adult population as the most likely to be purchasing 3D printers. So I'm going to go and look for census data on that. Now, let's imagine I've searched and I've found that it's not available to me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the census, the U.S. Census site, and there's a common format in census that's called the summary one file, and I'm going to be using that. And I've already put a CSV of that on my SharePoint server, so on SharePoint Online. So so what I'll be doing is I'm just going to bring in a file and give it that link to my SharePoint Online CSV file.
And what happens if that CSV is updated?
So something I should mention is that these are all just queries, right? So if we look at the data connections in Excel, So we'll look at the data connections later, but what these are actually creating in the background is a plain old data connection in Excel. So I can refresh that. Even if it's a source that's hitting the catalog, if that table on Wikipedia, for example, has been updated, I can refresh this data and get the most recent copy of it. So what I'm going to show you is, okay, so I got this census information, but it's not exactly what I need. So there's a bunch of stuff that I'd like to do to clean this up. Now, anyone who's tried to bring in data from the web or from public sources knows that it's really tough to find data that's formatted exactly like I need it. And if you're like me, you spend a lot of your time cleaning up that data, massaging it, and getting it ready so that it fits what I need to present it and to mash it up with my data. So I'm going to show you how that's how you could do that through Power Query really easily in a visual kind of environment that's very familiar for Excel users, and that works regardless of what technology that query is running over. Right? So I'd have the same capabilities whether I were hitting a CSV file or a SQL server or an OData feed. And I think that's one of the important capabilities that kind of makes this all more approachable, is that I can use these same capabilities regardless of the technology. So I'll just show you a few of the things that I need to do to clean this up. So I noticed there's a few summary rows which aren't really relevant to me. And I'm just going to filter the county, take out those null values. I see that that's an easy way to get those out of there. Now there's a bunch of codes here and things that I don't need. So I can really easily just highlight those. And there's total for males and total for females. And what I really want to get at is the segmentation by age range. So I'm going to find the total for females and delete that out. And I'm just going to hit the delete button. And all that is gone. Now, visually, it looks to me like a grid, like I'm manipulating the actual data. But in effect, what's happening is that Power Query is building a query out of a few discrete steps that I can see on the right-hand side here. And of course, I can delete those steps. I can modify them. I can go back and change the source, which is really useful if I've changed the file, if I've changed my database environment. I want to move it from one environment to the other. That's a really useful way to go and modify that. But one thing that should be strange to you here is that I've just deleted the county code column. Now, if you remember the last step, I was filtering based on those values. And that should look a little weird for Excel users because I don't have that data anymore, right? But really, because those are discrete steps that happen in a sequential order, that's something that I can do. Now, this data are formulated as a cross-tab kind of format, and with all of the different segments in the columns, and that doesn't really suit me, and I bet you've all hit this problem, where I really want a separate row with this segment for each one so that I can repivot it and mash it up as I wish. So one of the really nice things that I love about Power Query is I could just choose all of these, hit this unpivot button, and bam, I have a row for each one of those. And so it's bringing the column name into here and the value from that cell into here. So I have for every county now, I have a row for each segment. But it's not quite what I need because there's this prefix of total, and I'd really like to be able to get that gender information out of there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to split that by a delimiter and use the colon delimiter.
This is kind of like, how many of you have seen Flash Fill? This is kind of like Flash Fill, but for queries, like much more powerful than that. So just imagine doing this on larger and larger data sets like Yuval is doing here.
Now, as Ari mentioned, I can do this on very large data sets, but really, in order to do this as fast as possible, what we're showing you here is a preview. So you can very quickly manipulate the query and get it how you want it over some preview data without having to download the whole data set. And oftentimes, that's very useful when the data set is huge. So I've split that out, so it's really simple for me to say, well, that's gone. This is going to become my gender. This will be my age range. And remember I told you that we're targeting the young adults. So we've kind of identified the 21 to 44 year range as the one that's interesting to us. I don't want to bring in all that extraneous data. So I can just select those values, and there I have it.
So what if you want to go back? Like what if you did a few steps that you want to undo?
As I mentioned before, each one of these steps is deletable. I can go back. I can even actually navigate these and see, well, what did it look like before that step? Yeah. So what I'm going to do now is I'm also going to insert a custom column to really simply just have the county name and the state name that's going to help Michael later when he needs to visualize this. So I'm going to say, well, give me the county name. And I'm going to append the state name to that. And there I have it. And I think I'm pretty happy with this. So As with the others, I'm going to say for now that this is going in the data model. And actually, so I mentioned before that scenario around sharing. One of the really useful scenarios for Power Query, if you're a Power BI customer as well, is using the capabilities of your Power BI license to share that to the rest of the organization. So let's say I've invested some time in creating this. I think it's useful to others in my company. They may not have the knowledge necessary to get at these data sources. They may want to just save the time of doing so. So I'm just going to say, well, that's something I want to share. And I could say, well, this is young adults by county. And I can say from census data 2010. And I can give it some documentation. I can choose who I want to share that with. I can share that with a specific list of people, or I can share that with everyone on that Power BI tenant. And I can also use this view and portal link to show me a little bit about the different data sources. This is something I'm not going to be covering here, but it shows me some of the statistics around my data sources, which is really useful to tell, well, what are people really using? How often is this data set being used? And I'll just hit share.
And so you just shared it out through the data catalog, correct?
Correct. So I've shared it out through the catalog, but that's available only to users within my organization.
Right? And you can permission using some of the existing SharePoint permissions that you have.
So I'm going to go back to the model, and as you see, all my information is in there. And there's Power Pivot. There's tons of capabilities around Power Pivot, which are very useful for BI. I'm not going to discuss too much of them today. I'm just going to show you how to join those two data sets and get one and get the benefit of that relationship between them. So I'm going to go into diagram view, and I see here's my opportunity set. Here's my account set. And I'm going to say, well, this account ID is really same as this account ID here. And Power Query automatically detects the direction of that relationship. And as in a relational database, I now have the benefit of that relationship that I can use anywhere in Excel. So for example, if I were to just create a Power Pivot table over this, then I could create a really simple one where I could say, well, show me, let's say, the account name and my estimated value for each one of those opportunities. And that was a simple one because I'm only bringing in data from one set. But I can also, now that I have that relationship set up, I can also say, well, show me that by country. So I'm really taking advantage of that relationship that I've just created between the two different data sets. Now let's say I just want to see the country, and I can now do everything I can do within Excel, right? So I can create a chart on this. I'm not going to spend too much time tweaking this visualization because Michael will be showing you a bit more of that later. And I can say, well, okay, well, I also want to be able to slice this by the account owner, right? And I want to be able to slice that by the sales stage. So you see that really quickly. I've just brought in two data sets through OData feeds from my Dynamics, and I've created really a new report that wasn't available to me 10 minutes ago. So I can very simply see, well, okay, well, what opportunities does Jill have in the develop stage, and what's the total value of those opportunities? And this is kind of some of the benefit that I can have from using Power Query to get at those data sets.
So what about VLOOKUPs? Where are the VLOOKUPs?
No more, sir.
No more.
End of VLOOKUPs. Forget everything you've learned.
Round of applause. Come on.
So I think that's all for this part of the demo. I'll kick things back to Ari.
Yeah, just give a quick summary before I hand it off to Michael.
So what you saw there was some of the power of Power Query, connecting to different types of data sources, searching on different types of data sources, both internal and external to the organization, being able to quickly filter and shape them, you know, go do steps, see those steps in line, and then be able to undo those steps if you need to, replicate those steps on different queries, and then really being able to share and access those queries across an organization. So that's really where Power BI extends what you can do in Excel. So you saw that with the data catalog and being able to quickly, you know, type in a search and get those accounts and opportunities, data sets immediately in line. And then in terms of analysis, and that's what you saw with Power Pivot, the end of VLOOKUPs, as we say, being able to just drag and drop those relationships between different tables, integrate calculated measures, KPIs, hierarchies into your model. We didn't show a bunch of that. I'll actually just play this video real quick so you can see what I'm talking about. But really being able to add a lot of business logic to your models, aside from just being able to create those relationships. We have some other sessions here at SharePoint Conference. We'll be able to see kind of the in-depth on how to use Power Pivot to really get the most value out of different data sources that you're bringing into Excel. One of the other things we didn't show here that's actually really integral to the Power BI experience is adding synonyms. So synonyms are natural language, you know, business terminology that you add to your models, maybe the columns within your model, to allow users to type in those search terms into Q&A and get the answers and visualizations that they want. So you'll see a little bit of the Q&A features. We don't go in depth on how to use synonyms, but really that's just a capability within Power Pivot to assign different language to each of your column headers. So I'll pass it off to Michael to show you a little bit of the additional visualizations that you can put on top of these models and data sources that you've brought into Excel. So you've all showed you some of the ones that you're probably very familiar with, like pivot tables, pivot charts, but there's a whole host of other things, right, Michael?
Right, that's right.
Okay.
Can you hit two?
Yep.
Sorry. Great, so it's exciting to be at the SharePoint conference because for several years I've worked in the field as a SE for SQL Server, and some of the challenges that I've helped customers with is implementing SharePoint online, specifically around business intelligence. And I was at a customer last week, and they had a SharePoint installation for several years, but the problem was that it was a deployment problem where they had all these BI assets they wanted to surface in SharePoint, but the problem was, from a deployment standpoint, they didn't understand how to configure SharePoint on-premise. So for years, they've had these capabilities that they've paid for that they've been unable to execute on the BI story. The nice part about SharePoint online is that all that infrastructure is handled for you out of the gate. This is going to really open up the floodgates for customers to start implementing and leveraging the BI stack that you've all showed in terms of that. What underlies this entire experience is what's called the BI semantic model. The BI semantic model is what he showed when he had the accounts table and the opportunities table, and he sewed those together by, in the database world, a primary foreign key relationship, which I won't bore you with that, but basically it allows you to do things like formatting of the data, create relationships where you can infer relationships between, say, in this case, the opportunities table and the accounts table, and by having all that data with the formatting and the relationships surfaced through SharePoint, suddenly you get access to the ability to do slicing and dicing, to do filtering, all that kind of stuff. What you see here is a SharePoint online site, a little echoey, and down here is this Power BI link. What we've done is we've uploaded the model up into SharePoint Online, and what you'll see here is that this is kind of the final result. So this is where we're going to get to today in terms of an Excel workbook with that BI semantic model with all the visualizations built into it, where you can actually select this model and as a company with you know, several dozen to several hundred users, all these insights can be published up into SharePoint Online for easy access and consumption. So I, as an end user, might come into this workbook here and say click on this play axis, and suddenly you'll see this scatter plot. Again, it's all through the browser. This is, we're running Chrome here. You can run it through Internet Explorer, Firefox, Chrome, Safari, any browser, and you can see that all those insights are possible, as well as the ability to do things like filtering. So I might want to filter. In our case, we have this 3D printing company. As I filter this data, you can see that it's going to cross-filter everything else on the page. You can also expand these to get more insights, and you can also click on different slices of this graph to get more insights about your data. So the question is, how do we get to this point where all our insights are shared on SharePoint Online? And I'll get to that in 1 second. Like I said, the model is actually published up into SharePoint Online, where we can start asking it questions. So there's this feature called Power BI Q&A, and you've all talked about the ability to create these synonyms in your data, where you might have an orders table that's kind of cryptic in terms of its name. You can actually call that orders. You can have an accounts table that might be, you know, 5 words long in terms of the database, but you can create a synonym that's just called an accounts. All that metadata is then stored in this Q&A feature. And so let's go ahead and, well, I actually saved some of these Q&A features out, and these are natural language query you can see. So up top here, it's got someone might have typed this in, or you can click on that link, and you can say show weighted estimated value by account name. All that is surfaced for you. You might want to look at it as a table, a map, a card, a line chart, all that is available to you right off the gate. Now, if I want to come in here and start typing something, I can do that as well. So let's go ahead and type show opportunity age, and you can see that it's actually inferring a lot of the synonyms for me. If I show opportunity age by country, I know nothing about SQL Server, I know nothing about queries, but suddenly I'm able to see this geospatial map. There's also a filtering capability. You get also metadata about the data. So lots of abilities to look at the data here by country. And it's also recommending to me, what if I want to look at by this data by interested in? So not only do you get the segmentation by country, but you can also see each country has its own sense of what the population is interested in. There's also a filter criteria here if we want to look at a specific country. In our case, we have most of our sales in the US. We can go and filter by US, and you can also see that on the right here, it shows kind of the number of distinct items for each country. So as an example, I'll just filter on the US in Uruguay here, and you can just double click and see that. So the question is, how do I get to this final result? How do I get the model published up into SharePoint Online? And let's go ahead and look at an example of that. Also, I would say that there's an ability here to come in and just drop in a file into SharePoint Online. And when you drop this file in, it actually shows up in your online catalog. And that is that pretty much covers the Power BI part and the SharePoint Online. There's also a link down here that allows you to add new reports, and you can see there's a whole gallery of reports here that's available to any end user in the organization. So let's take a step back. Uval showed that you can have the accounts data loaded, you can have opportunities loaded, you can sew those together. He also pulled in some census data, and I showed you kind of the end result in the browser. Let's go ahead and talk about how do I, as an end user in Excel, once I've leveraged Power Query to scrub the data, cleanse it, how do I pull that data together in meaningful visualizations? So if you look in the options menu here, there's actually multiple add-ins that we've got in Excel, and I'll just briefly talk about these. So there's Power Pivot, Power Map, Power Query, and Power View. All these capabilities are part and parcel of the Excel experience now. If I come into the Insert menu and I want to create a Power View chart here, let's go ahead and type in something like Opportunities. So give it a title. The first thing I'll do is like we said, we have this account set and Opportunities, and we also have this census data. So let's start to understand what our accounts are. Let's look at, in this case, we have a ticker symbol for our accounts. We have number of employees. And you can see that the BI semantic model is smart enough to know which things is geospatial data, we coded that, which things are measures. It shows a symbol of which things are measures as well. And then there's also this opportunity set. This is going to be something that we're going to look at pretty significantly today in terms of the weighted estimated value. This is the thing that we're going to measure. So this weighted estimated value shows us for each opportunity what our organization believes is going to be the most significant part of this to our company as far as the sales opportunities we're pursuing. You can look at this in as tabular. You can look at it as bar charts, maps. What we're going to do here is just create a card style. This card allows us to look at all of those accounts, and we can also do things like filtering if we want. We can show also the same data by, say, employees, or if we want to look at it by this this weighted opportunity average. We can also do things like sorting it, ascending and descending. This gives us a sense of what our accounts are. What we'll do now is create a map. So we'll start with account state, and we'll jump in here, state or province. Again, PowerView is smart enough to know how to geocode this. We'll look at this, and since these two are related now, we can look at what our customers are interested in. So we'll click on interested in, and we'll look at this weighted estimated value. Again, we'll keep looking at this, but this is the weighted value of each opportunity that we believe is in our territory. I'll create a power map of that, and I also want to look at the country that that I'm most interested in is the one where most of our opportunities are. I'm going to actually create that as a filter here, and it's going to allow me to filter on the United States specifically. I can kind of zoom in on that if I want, and there is kind of a mapping insight. Do you have any thoughts, Ari?
Yeah. Question there. So that map that you just created, isn't that the same map that we saw in Q&A?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so the Bing Map service provides the maps for not only the PowerView maps, but also the Q&A maps. Mm-hmm. And what Michael will show you is how the Bing Mapping service also provides deeper geospatial insights as part of Power Map. So he'll show you that in a minute, but really Bing Maps provides the layer that allows us to really explore our data geospatially.
Right. Thanks, Ari. So we've got this weighted estimated value. What I'm going to do now is create kind of a more complex chart, that scatter plot. So we've got actually five dimensions. We've got an X, a Y, we've got a size dimension, we've also got a color dimension, and the fifth dimension we've got is a time dimension. This weighted estimated value is the opportunity size. I'm also going to look at the close probability from our opportunities, and that's going to drop into the X-axis. We'll look at the age of the opportunity, put that in the y-axis, and then for our kind of for the kicker here, we'll look at interested in. So what our customers, when I click on this, it's going to light up this the scatter plot to allow us to really see lots of fidelity around the close probability versus the opportunity age. So we want to go after things that have a high probability of close and have a kind of a lower age. We don't want age status which with low probability of close. The last thing we want to do here is look at all this data by a date. So we want to be able to play this on a play axis. And if we look at this estimated close date, I just click on that, it's going to put that into, you see down here in the bottom, this play axis. And then you can start playing this data over a time series. Again, you can filter the data if we want with these filters. And we can also select individual items and see how those progress over a time series. So this kind of wraps up the PowerView piece of it. There's also a new mapping capability called PowerMap that we'll jump into next. But do you have any thoughts on this, Ari?
No, I mean, really showing kind of the cooking show version here of how we took all that data from the dynamic CRM data source, public data sources, brought it in, mashed it up, and now we've built this report that can be shared out through our BI sites, queried using Q&A.
Right.
Pretty simple end-to-end. I think any of you in this room should be able to do something like that, right?
Okay. Yeah, like Ari was saying, that asset actually lives up here on this SharePoint Online site. So the thing that we did locally on our desktop, suddenly our entire organization has access to that if they have the proper permissions, and they can start slicing and dicing and deriving insights, whereas before they were kind of stuck on an Excel island, if you will. The next thing we'll look at is this Power Map feature, and so I've actually got a power map here that I already created. We're going to actually walk through how to create this, but I just want to show you kind of an overview of Power Map where you can see on the left side here you've got three different scenes. And a tour, if you look at a tour here, a tour consists of multiple scenes, and each scene can have actually multiple layers. You can also do things like add labels to it. You can have a time axis on the bottom, and that there's also settings for those. There's a layer manager here that you might want to enable and disable layers. You might want to do things like add map labels. Again, all this, to Ari's point, all this is integrated into the experience where you get these instant map labels. You can spin the globe around to look at different parts of the country or the world. You can create videos if you want to share these, say, on your SharePoint Online site. You can flatten it out. You can take screenshots of it. You can add shapes, all sorts of different things that you can do. And again, once you play this tour, there's different types of effects you can give it, like a fly-in. You can do, you can spin the globe around as you play it. You can actually change the look and feel of the globe itself. And you can also filter on a time axis. So, oh, go ahead.
Right. Yeah, the question comes up a lot about how is this mapping capability with PowerMap different than PowerView maps? Mm-hmm. And simple answer is, you know, you can have multiple layers of data here with PowerMap. And you can also play it over time. So you saw the time mm-hmm. play axis added here. Mm-hmm. Those are two capabilities you don't necessarily have with PowerView maps. Of course, the goal is to integrate those experiences so we have one visualization that includes mapping capabilities. But, you know, that's probably down the line. But that's kind of the vision.
Yeah. So let's look at how we actually created this tour. So we'll come into this map capability. We'll say launch PowerMap. And what we're going to do is create a new tour here. Now, what we initially need is this geography and map level. It's actually looking for something that it can geocode and give us a sense of our location. So we've got lat long we could use. We've got postal codes. Let's go ahead and use that. Now it's wanting us to tell it, what is this data? So in our case, it's a zip code. Now, because, again, in the PowerPivot data model, all this is linked together, we actually selected postal code, which we'll hit select next on. And you can see that it's already lighting those geographies up on the map. What we'll do now is go to this opportunity weighted estimated value. And you can see that it's giving us a legend here. We can kind of minimize that if we want. And we're also going to look at the opportunity close probability to decorate our data.
Well, Michael's finding mm-hmm. that the... Mm-hmm. What important thing to call out in that last step where he selected the geospatial characteristic as zip code, you saw there was an other selection there. So that other selection actually allows you to select place names. So you could have, you know, headquarters, you know, university names, anything like that. Anything that Bing can pick up as part of the Bing service. So you go to Bing.com, type in a location, and it's able to map it. That'll be able to be mapped in PowerMap. So if you have something that isn't necessarily falling into one of those categories, as Michael had with zip code, you can use PowerMap to geocode it.
Exactly. So what we have multiple layers now. So this first layer, we'll call this weighted sales value. And again, as we go through this exercise, you can see that we're actually creating layers that we can light up and turn on and off. We also added, I clicked on this map label, so you can click on this on and off. You can also do things like flatten the map if you want. You can also do things like add a different look and feel to it if you want. So if you like different themes, you can go ahead and do that. And then there's also this time axis. So when we look at our main data set here, we can see at the bottom here that there's actually this time setting. And you can do things like show data for just an instant. You can show data as it accumulates over time. Or you can have data stay in place until it's replaced. So lots of different settings there. We've done different visualizations where we had Napoleon's march into Moscow in the 1800s, where it shows the data where as their army is marching into Moscow, it's getting less and less. And then we have a temperature layer where it's getting colder and colder, and you can see the army size shrinking and the temperature getting bigger. So lots of really creative things you can do. We also have another visualization we'll show later today, which is around medical data, where you can see the population health of a community and the number of fast food places and hospitals and parks and all that kind of stuff they have access to.
Good pitch for our session later today, SP 324 at 5 o'clock. So if you want to learn more about geospatial, it's a great session to attend.
So we've come in and we've created this tour, or this actually the scene. The scene has multiple, well, actually only right now it only has one layer in it. And what you see up here is there's this time axis. We can actually edit this if we want, and if we just want to show the date, say the time isn't really significant, we can come and play this. You can control how long the scene lasts. You can also annotate it if you want. So you can also see down here there's a play, there's a back button. And we want to come in here and say, this is a really interesting data point here, so I want to say, look at this later. You can also do things like add images if you want. If you had, say, something like a customer name or a flag or something that you want to decorate the data, that's all possible as well. What we want to do now is we have this first scene, we have the layer data in there. What we want to do now is add a second scene. The second scene, what we're going to do is do a little bit of a nuanced scene where we're going to actually look at Europe, and we're going to look at it by region, which is a new capability here. So when I come in here, I can add, we've added this scene, and we want to go to our layer manager and add a second layer. So we're going to keep all the data we had for that first layer. And what we're going to do now is, again, we have to kind of search for our geospatial information. I'm going to come in here and select country, and you can see that it's selected country as our geospatial information. I'm going to look at this opportunity information for close probability, and I'm also going to also add this estimated close date again, so we're going to have the ability to play this over a time axis. Now, the interesting thing here that Ari wanted to call out is this ability to add regions. So when I click on this regions, you can see that it's going to light everything up in terms of the weighted average of this close probability, and I want to come in here and change this to an average, and so it's between 25 and 90%. What it's doing is color coding these different layers so that you get information, not only you get the original information we had around this estimated probability, but you've also got this close probability, which gives us extra insights visually that we can mine. And then what I'll do is I'll change this theme here to a different theme. And then the last thing I'll do is come back and add a last scene here. So I'm gonna, in this third scene here, what we're gonna do is we're gonna turn off the second layer that we just created. And Yuval had, what he had done is he had given us some insights around census data. And so with that census data, we might be able to look at something around what are our missed opportunities. Here's the estimated value we had in these different territories. But the question is, where are we missing information in terms of, are we going to have a heat map of showing us where this 20 to 40 demographic is, and have we missed something in this analysis? So the last thing we'll do is look at we'll come down here and look at country and state. This is actually selected as other because country and state is kind of a compound way of showing this information. We'll hit next, and we'll select the value here. And what you can see is all this information is getting surfaced up. We'll zoom in a little bit. We might want to say flatten the map. And then the last thing we'll do is change this to, well, we could do a bubble chart, but we won't do that. We'll actually do a heat map. Now we can see that in this context, we might see that there's, like this point right here, there's not a whole lot of estimated value here, but there's a really big demographic. So I could add an annotation that says, please review later. And then we'll hit OK. Now we've got, in review, we've got this estimated value. We've got the ability to look at, say, a heat map here in terms of these regions, and then a heat map against the actual data sets for the estimated value. We'll play this tour, and we'll see it's going to show all these three scenes in concert. And it's a really quick, hopefully it's been instructive in terms of how to create these insights. And like you've all said, we have the account information, the opportunity information on this BI semantic model. We've sewed them together. We've used Q&A to scrub the data, and then we can also publish to SharePoint Online and use this Q&A feature as well. So hopefully this ties things together, Ari.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. Really good, you know, cooking show end-to-end demo from, you know, discovering those data sources to now visualizing them with this really immersive map. One great thing to call out here is that, you know, if you have a touch device, you can actually just, you know, interact with the tours while it's playing, and it'll pause it. So we love to throw PowerMap up on, you know, a perceptive pixel device, one of those large screen touch devices. You know, you can imagine having that in a boardroom setting and being able to have the CEO go up to the board, interact with the data, and pinpoint insights as we have here. So we see these types of really immersive visualization capabilities becoming more popular, and the ability to share them out, you know, right now it's just a video or within the Excel file, but the idea is that these can be embedded anywhere, you know, embedded on a SharePoint site, interact in this way. So something that we're definitely working on to make sure that insights are able to be gained no matter whether you're in an Excel workbook or on SharePoint. Jump back, just do a quick summary. So we saw visualization and sharing from Michael, Power View, these highly interactive, kind of familiar exploration experience with, the field well on the right-hand side, much like you have a pivot table that you've all built, same type of experience, just more powerful visualizations. And then Power Map, being able to map that data using the Bing mapping services, using different types of visualizations on the map, whether that's columns, bubble pie charts, heat maps, regions, which we just added, and we're going to continue to add new types of visualizations on top of that. Some of the requests we've had are like custom regions. So right now we just have geopolitical regions. We'll add custom regions in the near future. We'll add paths to show supply chain, things like that. And then being able to discover those insights, much like you would a PowerPoint presentation, be able to capture those insights as scenes and then weave them together into a larger presentation that you can share with others. So that's really the tour capabilities. And so if you go on YouTube now and you search Power Map Tour, you'll find a bunch of those tours that a number of our customers have published up to YouTube. So and then the sharing capability. So I'll actually hand it off to Miguel to kind of conclude with kind of how we rationalize all these different tools we have. We're at SharePoint Conference, and we can interact with some of our workbooks on SharePoint as Michael showed, being able to click on the Power Views, get different insights. But then Power BI kind of takes it a step further with some of the Q&A capabilities, being able to access those reports across different devices with the mobile BI and HTML5. So how do we kind of rationalize those things, and how are we innovating in both those areas? So I'll hand it off to Miguel to talk a little bit more about that.
Okay, so now that we've seen how Power BI and Excel work together, I think it's my job to actually answer some questions. I assume you guys have many. I tried to summarize that in this, for being a visualization session, this table is actually very ugly, but I think it does work, which is trying to answer, of all the BI offerings that we have today, what are we talking about here? I want to focus on the first column, which is Power BI for Office 365, but we can actually add one more here, which is SharePoint Online. Power BI is built on SharePoint Online, so a lot of the features that you see on that column actually apply to SharePoint Online too. I'm just trying to remember what are the most popular questions. So the first one is, what is included on each of the offerings? This is what this table is trying to answer. The other one is, each of the features that I have listed here are actually the things that we see again more often asked. So what do you get Power View? Do I have a, yeah, I do, nice. Let me click here. So what you see highlighted there is exactly the difference that you have in Power BI compared to the other offerings. You can render Power BI sheets in the browser, which is actually something you get with SharePoint. It's just a different type of solution. The solution that you see on Power BI for Office 365 is actually in SharePoint Online. And the ones that actually make a difference are HTML5 support and mobile access through the Windows 8 app. Down the road, we're going to have iOS apps.
And maybe other platforms.
True. But the point is that with HTML5, you can access it from anywhere on any device. Q&A, you guys already saw it. That's built into the cloud, into Office 365, so that's where you get it. And then the synonyms on the Power Pivot model, which is how you can enhance these Q&A models to actually get better performance. This is the first question, like the most popular question. And then the other one is, what Power BI is? And I think this graphic actually summarizes pretty well. When we talk about Power BI, we talk about the Power features in Excel, and we talk about Office 365. So it's kind of good to take a minute and highlight that the things that you see on PowerBI.com and when we talk about Power BI are two different things. You have the authoring experience in Excel, which is something that we saw heavily today, And that's something that you get with an Excel license. You get Excel 2013 either through a subscription, Pro Plus, or in the box, perpetual license. And that's what you get. You have the option of discovering in Power Query with some of the features that we saw here, except the actual online capability of sharing queries and search for your online data, analyze with Power Pivot, and then visualize with Power View. Power BI, the actual subscription, gets you what you see in the cloud. Upload that to your SharePoint site, and then actually consume that in your Power BI site, which is just SharePoint inserts. It's built for BI, it's built for sharing, and then inside that BI site, you can consume those Power View sheets, you can do Q&A, and you can consume that through any device, again, through HTML5. I think those are the two most popular questions that we wanted to answer.
Yeah, and it looks like we have about 15 minutes left for questions, so I want to make sure that we open it up. We have Mike over here. So if you want to just create a line there, if there's any questions.
And let's do something, I don't know.
Yeah.
Usually the questions, like some questions we can't answer, so if you ask something that we can't answer, we'll give you a Power BI t-shirt.
Yeah, but you have to wear the Power BI t-shirt throughout the conference.
We only have medium and small. If you send me your email, maybe we can send you one bigger if you need it. So.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, guys.